Well, welcome again to Sean Hammer. Today we will be going over the Broken Promises section of the Arcanist section of the Broken Promises book. Until we get to that, let's go over recap exactly what I've been doing lately, and if it's any consequence or consequential to anything, or you just, I don't know. What I've been doing is putting models together. First of all, got the Curiosity Killed the Cat limited edition from box set from Gen Con. That would be a Hamlin alternate box with a crazy old cat lady and her stupid dutiful son as the obedient wretch, the cat is on Nyx and a couple. Anyway, it's pretty cool. It's a whole bunch of cats and everything, and during the Black Friday special I can get the rest of it with the rat catchers and stuff like that. Let's see, I don't know what I'm doing for bases for them. I thought about doing a Victorian, maybe some pumpkins, since it's Halloween and everything. But man, these are a pain in the ass to put together, holy shit. And I don't know if I'm going to put them on the bases before I paint them, but they're so tiny, each cat. I want to have little garbage cans, I don't know if I'm even going to do that. So, I've been putting that together, slowly. Painting some, hold on. Sorry about that. Let's see, I've been putting some Blood Bowl models together. More importantly, not importantly, but just specifically, dwarfs from my buddy Jason. And they're a little pain in the asses to put together. I'm going to paint them up for him. We'll see how that all goes. Been painting the nuns, doing a multicolor scheme. Like, my catchers will be like a shadow gray and everything to go along. I mean, you know, they're in between a baby blue and a shadow gray. Most of them will be the black and white nun look. My blitzers are going to be like Mother Superiors with, I think, red and blue tab rope things up front. Yeah, and then after that, I'll finish everything up and, you know, go from there. I'll get pictures and everything. Then, after I get Jason his dwarf team back, I get a goblin team. And I'm actually going to keep the orcs that came in the box set of Blood Bowl, and we'll go over that one day soon. What else have I been doing? I've been buying stuff at eBay for my wife's birthday and for myself. Some Star Trek miniatures. Heroclix. Also, a bunch of zombies and Zombie Abe Lincoln, which we will cover on the next episode of Sean Hammer. Hopefully for the Halloween episode. So look for that within the next couple days. So, that's about all I've been doing besides working, hanging out with grandbabies, shit like that. So let's go ahead and go over the next segment of the Broken Promises book. We have the Outcasts. And let me get to everything. Probably, I think they are my number one faction, actually. Oh, yeah, another thing I got is I put up the table that I built out of a card table, so I'll put that up for everyone to see. And I'm going to teach my wife how to put Malifaux on it, so she's going to be doing the Victorias, be doing Jackdaw, just so we can get used to each other's crew before we go to Adepticon. Although, I don't know if I want to do Jackdaw or Hamlin. Not Hamlin. What's that dude's name? The Free Corpse. Oh my god. What's his name? I'm gonna go crazy. I can't remember anything. Hoffman? No. Von Schill. Oh my god. Off completely. Sorry, guys. So, got that going on. So, we'll cover that. So, up first we got Benny Wolcombe. He is a sleazy-looking potbelly dude with no shirt, rat-skin coat, which is pretty cool. Unfortunately for him, is he doesn't fit the cat theme for my Hamlin crew that's going on, but I probably will get this guy because, I'm going to be honest with you, the rat coat is pretty freaking sweet. He looks like a sleazeball, cigar in his mouth, some gold teeth, kind of looks like a rat himself. He is a henchman, living rare one. He's a bandit and a nihilist, so he's got some synergy a little bit just because of the bandit name with Parker Barrows. He's got a sack of rats. Oh, first we'll go over his stats. He's 8 cost, 5 soul stones. I mean, 8 soul stones to cost with 5 cash. Not bad. Defense 6, willpower 5, 8 wounds, 5 walk, 7 charge, height 2. His abilities are Sack of Rats. When this model suffers one more damage for enemy attack, it may discard a card to summon a Malifaux Rat in a base contact with itself. It's pretty cool. The whole thing about Hamlin is dropping the rats and getting the blight out there, so... Bonus. He's diseased, so enemy models begin their activation. With 3-inch aura, this model gain the following condition, Blighted 1. His Nihilism, so when he would get a condition, he can choose not to gain it instead. And he's got Rat Presence. At the end of their turn, an enemy scheme marker in base contact with a friendly vermin with an 10-inch aura. Place a friendly scheme marker in base contact with enemy scheme marker, then discard the enemy scheme marker. So, a lot of, scheme marker control, which is good, right? His attack actions are Infected Blade, which is doing 2, 3, 4 damage. Comes with a crow, and let's see. And again, and if you're hit by it, you get bladed one. With that crow trigger, he's got Hateful Strike. When damaging, if the target has one or more attached upgrades, this attack deals plus one damage. And with a tome, he's got Drop It. After damaging an enemy model, place a scheme marker within 3 inches of the target. So a lot of scheme marker manipulation there. He's got the Bleeding Disease. Target will suffer an amount of damage equal to its blighted condition. Just like Hamlin and Nyx. He's got Swarm, which is a target model. Suffers an amount of damage equal to the number of vermin within 3 inches of line of sight, which is considered an enemy, plus 1. And the Tome, Drop It as well. It's 0 tactical action. The Other White Meat. This model may sacrifice any number of vermin, friendly vermin, is important, within 3 inches. It heals 1 damage for each vermin sacrificed this way. So, he's got a healing, and he's going to heal because you're going to have vermin in play, so that's about it. Next up, we have a Rare 2 Minion Living Free Corpse, and this will be a Free Corpse Engineer. Pretty cool looking. I don't know. Model's pretty cool. She's got some, like, Hoffman's cage thing he's got around him, his little harness. Kind of looks like that. She's got bladed weapons and stuff. She's defense 5, 6 willpower, 6 wounds, 5 walk, 7 charge, height 2. She got armor plus 1, free corpse suit, so she may ignore damage from blast aura effects. Looted supplies. At the start of this model's activation, if it's a base contact with one or more markers, draw a card. No, cards are what this game's about. Attack actions are Cut and Crush. Built in Crow. Target suffers 1, 3, 4 damage. And she got Can Opener, so... excuse me, I'm a little off. After succeeding, target model gains the following condition for the rest of the game. Cracked. Negative 1 defense. So she... Crack and open your armor. She's got a custom clockwork pistol, which is 2, 3, 5 damage. When damaged, the target's attack deals 1 plus damage for each ram in total. Tactical action, she just has 1. It's strengthen armor. Discard a card to give the construct or model with armor plus 1 the following conditions to start of its model's next activation. Armor plus 1. Reduce all we all know what that means. If it was a free corpse, you do not have to discard a card to take this action. With a ram, she's got adjusted hydraulics. After succeeding, if the target is outcast, it gains the following condition to end the turn. Powerful model. This adds plus 1 ram to its dual totals. And it's light disorienting device. After succeeding, this will be with a mask. Target gains the following condition to end the turn. Obscured. Melee attack actions, target's model suffer negative. Don't know how I feel about her. I don't know. I guess it's always worth it to have one in there, and you might utility piece. Not too many points more than an actual free corpse man and stuff, so hey, why not? Alright, next up we have a prospector. She is a burly looking girl with a shovel and a corn cob pipe. I don't know. I was going to say in a button, nose, and 2 eyes made on it. Anyway, not there yet. She's Prospector, Living Mercenary. Cost of 6, with 5 defense, 4 willpower, 7 wounds, 5 walk, 6 charge, height 2. She's got the dowsing stick at the start of Smile's activation. You may push up to 3 inches towards a ski marker in line of sight. Spin Soul Stone to make a Soul Stone. When this model is deployed, add 1 Soul Stone to the crew Soul Stone pool. So, in thought, she's only 5 Soul Stones if you think about that. She's got Pan for Soul Stones. If this model uses an interact action to discard 1 or more enemy ski markers, add a Soul Stone to this crew Soul Stone pool. Well, outside of cards, ski markers, Soul Stone's probably about the third popular thing that will win and is boring to your crew, so this is good. So you got Mining Tools, which is melee attack, giving out 2, 3, 5 damage. She's got I've Struck Soul Stone, place a friendly ski marker in the base contact with this model, then puts enemy its walk towards this model. Next up is Appraise. Target an enemy ski marker within range, discard and flip a card that can't be cheated. If the card has a value of 0 for 5, discard a card. If it has a value of 6 to 10, draw a card. If it has a value of 11 to 14, place a friendly ski marker anywhere within range and draw a card. her next one is 0 action, talking about shafts. Range of 6 inch aura. Until the end of turn, enemy models which in their move or push within 6 inches of this model and in base contact with 1 or more of this crew's scheme markers, it suffers 2, 3, 4 damage, which may not be cheated. It's kind of like the Crooked Men a little bit, what they got going on. And with a crow, she's got I Can Dig It. Place a scheme marker in base contact with this model. Bam. Simple as that. Let's see. Next up, we have Talos. He's rare, Construct, Enforcer, with Void. So we got some working with Terra and her crew. He's got 4 defense, 6 willpower, 9 wounds, 5 walk, 7 charge, height 3. Cost is 8 soul stones. He's got Fueled by Pain. When this model buries an enemy model, it heals the amount of damage equal to the buried model's remaining wounds. When an enemy model buried by this model unburies, this model suffers an amount of damage equal to half of the buried model's, so round it. So, heals when it buries it, unheals when it doesn't. Well, it takes damage when it doesn't. Armor plus 1, he's terrifying 11 all. He's got a Void Hammer, doing 3, 4, 5 damage. This action has a plus 1 range, while there are 1 or more buried enemy models. He's got Leeching Strength, which is built-in crow. After damaging, if an enemy model is currently buried, as a result, this model's Into the Furnace action, he heals 1 damage. Into the Furnace. Target non-leader enemy model is buried. If this model takes action again or is removed from blade, the target is buried, unburied, base contact. So basically, it's like the coffins with the Death Marshals. If this model wins, the buried model gains burning 1. So he is a walking furnace, everyone. He's pretty cool looking, and his the model's got a guy inside of his stomach with bars on it. He is on a 50mm base. I should have said that too. Previously up to that, everyone's been on 30. Let's see. Screams from Within. All enemy models within range must pass a horror duel. The target number for this horror duel is equal to 10 plus the number of buried enemy models. And Steel Essence. Choose a buried model. This model suffers 2 damage. So it's kind of like the Void Wretch when they do 2 damage to stuff. It's kind of like that. So a lot of synergy there. And yes, I don't have this model. Next up, we have Marlena Webster. Now, she's a pouty little girl on a... It looks like a running teddy. Dilapidated running teddy, but a teddy nevertheless. She's an Enforcer, Construct Living, Rare 1. Cost 8. She's a Lost. 5 defense, 5 willpower, 8 wounds, 5 walk, 6 charge, height 1. Steadfast Protector. She's on a 40mm base, this one. After an enemy model within 8 inches line of sight resolves an action that places a scheme marker, this model may discard a card to charge the enemy model. This charge may be made even if the model is engaged. If 1 or more model places a scheme marker at the same time, this model can only charge one of them. She got a defense with a mask, but it's not built in. Teddy help. After attack action succeeds, this model may push this model 2 inches away from the attacker, then the attacker suffers 2 damage. She's got armor +1. An attack action. Protector's claws. 2, 4, 5 damage. With a ram, she's got protector child. After succeeding, push this model 3 inches away from the target. Entropic withering. It's a shooting attack. Target suffers 2, 3, 4 damage, ignoring hard kill and harder wound. Now, lingering entropy, with a crow, after damaging target, gains the following conditions to activations: rotting away. This character cannot heal damage. Pretty straightforward. A lot of attack actions with a push and stuff, it basically plays in the model. You know, she looks like she's pouting because she's stuck on top of this teddy, and it's doing its job. 0 action. Tactical action. Soul tether. Target friendly leader model gains the following conditions until this model's next activation. Tethered +1. If this model is killed, it is not killed, and immediately heals the model damage equal to its tether condition. Then a friendly Marina Webster suffers damage equal to the model's tether condition, and the condition ends. Increase the value of the model's condition by the amount equal to the amount that this action's final dual total exceeded the target number of this action. So she's like taking some wounds for your master. So I'm thinking maybe she's got a lot to do with Leviticus. She's got quick stitching. Discard a scrap marker within 3 inches of this model. Summon a wicked doll into base contact with this model. Last, finally, we have the Midnight Stalker. Now, this guy is a serial killer who wants to take it as an art form, not be like Seamus. He's an enforcer, living rare, +1, soulstone 8, 6 defense, 6 willpower, 6 wounds, 5 charge, 7 char. I mean, 5 walk, 7 charge, height 2. Abilities, this guy's empowered, so he gains fast if he activates within the opponent's half of the board. He's got Muddy Leap, his model ignores all intervening models during a walk or charge action. He's got Respect to Art. During this model's activation, it cannot target enemy models that have already activated this turn. So you got a little situation there you gotta be aware of. Polite and well-mannered, this model has not yet activated this turn. Enemy models receive a double negative flip to attack tools targeting it. But he's got Reborn. At the beginning of each turn, this model heals all damage and may be placed 8 inches of its current location. It's pretty nifty. That's something I don't think we've seen before in a model of Malifaux. So it's pretty nifty. That's my word today, nifty. Let's see, attack actions. He's only got one. It comes with a ram. It's got critical strike. It's a murdering sword. 2, 3, 5 damage. Tactical actions. This town is scared of that dandy hatter. This model gains the following condition to the end of the turn. Chip on his shoulder. This model gains a +1 ram to its final dual totals every time it is engaged with. For every model it's engaged with. With a tome trigger, it's got I'll show them something they'll never forget. After succeeding, an enemy model within this model's engagement ring must pass a target number 11 horror duel. And don't come after me. 0 tactical action. If this model is dealt damage during this turn, it gains the following condition to the end of the turn. You will regret it. When an enemy model targets this model with a charge action, it must pass a target number 14 willpower duel, or this action immediately fails. So I don't know. This guy here, he's outcast. He's got no synergy with anything, but he's just there to, well, be a pain. I consider him kind of like a outcast Betty Noor, a little bit, I guess. So that's pretty cool. I probably will play him, but I don't know with what yet. Model's kind of plain. He's just looking like a smooth guy, monocle, top hat, trench coat, vest, murdering sword, some leather fox gloves and boots. Marlena Webster is probably the coolest looking model out of the, well, I can't say that. Talos is pretty damn fucking sweet too. And I will take a slight little break here, and I'll get back to you with the upgrades. Alright, for the upgrades. First up, we have Terra. Well, she's got a 0 and a 1 upgrade. The one upgrade is out of time. This model gains the following abilities. Spiring Oblivion. While this model's controller has no cards in his hand, this model gains plus to all of its flips, which is really freaking important. I haven't gone over on Terry yet, but you will run out of cards because she gets her defenses go up when she has no you have no cards in your hand. So that's pretty good. But it's got Gnawing of Reality is the next one. Friendly Void Wretches treat the Void Maw ability as a one action. So it's pretty good. That's really good. This model gains the following attack action. The clock is ticking. A target enemy model suffers damage equal to the turn number. This activation can only be taken once per activation. So not bad at all. And after damaging, this model heals amount of damage equal to the turn number. So it gives her quite a bit of staying power, so to speak, as you can see. Boosts up her crew and also gives her makes her harder hit because gains plus to all flips. So not just defense, not just damage, not attack, all flips. Zero tactile action is emptiness. Model gains the following ability. Nothing fills the void. This model ignores upgrades with the restrictions of terror when determining how many upgrades it may attach. At the start of this model's activation, it may discard an upgrade with the restriction of terror and draw cards equal to the upgrade soulstone cost. And it's got eventually. When this model activates, it may target an enemy model within 6 inches. The target must pass a target number 16 willpower duel or gain the following condition until the end of the game. Nowhere. After this model becomes buried, it suffers 2 damage and the opponent draws a card, then end this activation. So, Terror's crew is all about burying with the Void Wretches and damaging while you're buried, as we saw with, with Talos and everything. So, pretty good upgrades with her, and looking forward to trying those out. Next up, we have Von Chill, which is our resident Hulk Hogan. This model of him shows him with a metal arm now, so something happened in Nythera, because one of his first upgrades is in Nythera Aftermath. He gains the following ability. Target practice. After an enemy model is pushed or placed within 6 inches line of sight of this model, target model may make a clockwork seeker action against the target. If legal, this action gets a plus 1 flip, so that's pretty good. He's got practice ambidextry. When this model takes a charge action, it can make a generated attack against this model in range, not just the initial target. He's got following attack action, clockwork arm. Range of 2, target suffers 1-2-4 damage and pull. After succeeding, place the target within 6 inches of its current location, not in terrain. Which will this actually go with target practice, because he's shooting you up so he can take a free shot at you with target practice. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Adds a little bit more diversity to this model, I guess. I mean, he is pretty beefy melee model. I've always had good luck with him, so. Let's see. Oath of the Free Corpse is his next one. This model gains the following ability. You have your target. Enemy models damaged by this model's actions gain the following condition to the start of this model's next activation. Priority target. Enemy models with the attack's Oathkeeper upgrade gain plus to all duels involving this model. And this model gains the following tactical actions. Vow to get it done. Target a friendly Free Corpse model within 12 inches. If there are 2 or few Oathkeeper upgrades attached to a friendly model in this crew, attach Oathkeeper upgrade to this target model, ignoring all restrictions. As you can tell, Oathkeeper is very, very popular with the Von Chill, with the Free Corpse, and Outcast in general, but more so. So, that's pretty decent. Next up, we have the Victorias. This is the crew my wife will be playing. They got 2 1 Soulstone Cost upgrades. First one is the Soaring Dragon. This model gains following ability. High Above. This model may choose to begin their game buried. When this model kills an enemy model on any turn after the first, may discard 2 cards to become buried. All friendly sister models in play gain the following tactical action, even if this model is not in play. Death from Above. On any turn after the first, discard a card to unbury friendly buried sister model into base contact with this model, then the unbury model may not chain activate this turn. So, I mean, That's pretty cool. I mean, they're a little handy. I mean, you got two masters that are just swinging swords at you. Loving doing it. They got sisterly bonds for the other ones. Family sister model gains the following ability. Let's see. The first one is Victoria Ashes or Blood, rare one, and the sisterly bonds is Victoria Ashes. Mystic Blades, after this model gains a condition from which enemy model, it may heal 1, 2, 3 damage, and it gains the following tactical action. Blood calls to blood. Target friendly minion model within 6 inches gains the following conditions at the end of the turn. Blood ties. It gives them the sister characteristic, because the whole synergy with that crew and their upgrades is different sister models doing things back and forth. So, it's pretty decent. I'm not really, so far, really impressed with Terror's upgrades. Next up we have Jackdaw. Both are 1 Soulstone upgrades. First one is Cursed Life. This model gains following abilities. When this model attaches an upgrade to another model, this model may heal 1 damage. So that's really good to heal. And when a model with the curse upgrades attached to his guild, draw a card. So games runs on card control and your hand and stuff like that. So that's always good. And healing's never a bad thing. Next up is Injustice, Growing Injustice. If a friendly guilty model is killed or sacrificed, choose a cursed upgrade that this model does not have attached to it and is not upgraded to an enemy model. This model attaches those upgrades face down. Sins of Unforgiven. After an enemy tormented model with 1 or more attached cursed upgrades is killed, this model may choose to summon a guilty into base contact with enemy before it is removed from play. If this model chooses to do so, the curse upgrade attached to the enemy model are removed from play and not reattached to this model. So, I love summoning things, and that's the way to summon a guilty model. So that's pretty sweet. Next up we have Hamlin. First upgrade is Useful Vermin, and it basically gives them the following ability. At the start of every turn, this model may target up to 2 friendly Malifaux rats within line of sight. Place a scheme marker in base contact with each target and sacrifice each target. Sounds a little bit damning, but you can put out so many rats quite easily with this crew. I think it's worth a look. And the Plague Pits. This is another one that puts down a 50mm height, 0 plague swarm markers anywhere on the board. Enemy models which begin their activation or end activation with 3 inches of these markers get Blight plus 1. And at the end of the turn, you may discard a card to move a friendly Plague Swarm marker 6 inches in any direction. So it's adding to his Blight ability, kind of like a storm cloud or something. They say pits, but I like to imagine there's the clouds, I guess. Next up is Leviticus, which I don't play him. But I will go over his upgrades. I do not know how I feel about him. Maybe one day I'll pick him up. I don't know. Both of them are... The first one is a limited Aether Shackles. He gains the following tactical actions. To dust. Discard a number of cards. Discard any number of cards. Discard 1 scheme marker within 8 inches line of sight per card discarded in this way. If this model discards more scheme markers from this action than it has friendly hollow waves in play, it may take the Connect Soul action. I don't know what that is. But Connect Soul, I guess it's right here. Connect Soul. Summon a Hollow Waif within 6 inches of this model. Sacrifice any all other Hollow Waif models. So, yeah, there you go. Sacrificing your totems and stuff. Next up is Untimely Demise. This model gains the following ability, Desolation. When this model will be buried by the Pariah Soul ability before this model is removed, all enemy models with a 3-inch pulse suffer 2 damage, which cannot be reduced. If a non-PM model is killed by this ability, it may summon an abomination into the base contact with that model before it is removed from play. So, as I said before, summoning more models is always good. I like it. So, it's a way. Next up, we have Parker Barrows. Both are his upgrades, none are limited. Both are 1 soul stone. First is High Noon. This model 6-shooter action gains the following trigger. With a tome, clings to armor. It ignores armor. Yeah, I like that. He gains the following tactical action. Dead man walking. Target gains the following condition to end of game. Dead man walking. At the end of any activation which this mono took a walk or charge action, one opposing mono within range may make a range attack targeting its mono. When this mono activates, it may discard a soulstone. If it does so, add one soulstone to the opponent's. If it does so, add one soulstone to the opponent's control stone pool in this condition. Then discard this upgrade or one soulstone. And it's got a ram trigger. I'm coming for you. After succeeding, the target gains this low condition. It's pretty cool. I like to ignore armor. So as simple as that. And Parker, he can cycle through his upgrade. So that's here and there. Here, you know, it's good. He's got hitted plate steel, which is nice. It gives him a when this model suffers damage, it may discard this upgrade to reduce the damage by 2 to a minimum of 0. Then he's got a dramatic reveal. When this upgrade is discarded, all friendly minion models with an 8-inch pulse gain the following condition to end of the turn. Inspired. They get a +1 flip to melee and shooting actions. So he's got a little bit of the Captain Jack Sparrow, pizzazz to him. He gains the following tactical action, unflinching stare, 10 inches. In one condition on the target, other model after resolving, if the target was not a bandit, discard this upgrade. So it gives you a way to get rid of some being burned, poison, stuff like that. So that's really good. He's got changing plans. After succeeding, take a different zero action. This action may not declare triggers. Both are pretty solid. Parker's upgrades usually are. So, I don't know. He's up there with Terrors, in my opinion, right now. Next up, we have the Emissary of Fate. His, of course, he can be only at this upgrade if you take Parker. Lack gives him this model's attached trinket upgrade to friendly models and may draw a card. This model gains the following action: if it's only alone, target a friendly model within 10 inches. That model may choose to discard one of its upgrades. If it does so, it may draw a card. If the discarded upgrade was a trinket upgrade, you may place a enemy ski marker and base with contact with the target. So, the bandits do a lot on against enemy ski markers, so I can see where that would work. I don't run any emissaries, so I don't really know positively what to tell you about that. But that is the Outcast section of that book. That leaves us with Gremlins and Ten Thunders next. We'll be doing a Halloween episode coming out next, so hopefully we'll get to that, and I'll see you soon. Remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. And if you don't hear me before Halloween, happy Halloween. And if you got any questions, comments, concerns, bitches, gripes, or compliments, send them to me at SeanHammer, the number 9, at yahoo.com. And thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon.